So going back to the importance of accounting is fundamentally just to read the numbers and see what story the numbers are trying to tell you. And it has nothing to do with how much money you make. For instance, the cash flow pattern of a poor person is very simply somebody who spends as much as they make. So you could be making, let's say, $10,000 a year, and you spend $10,000 a year, you're a poor person. But just add another zero to that, the person could be making, let's say, $100,000 a year and spending $100,000 a year, you're still a poor person regardless of how much money you make. It's in the cash flow pattern. So the thing my rich dad taught me to read was the pattern of the spending, income in, expense out, which way is it going? A middle-class person is oftentimes somebody the bankers like because they're a good credit risk. In other words, they have a good, stable job and all this stuff. So a middle-class person, let's say, makes $10,000 a year, but because they have a stable job, the banker will let them buy a car or a house. They have now accrued a long-term liability. Now their net worth may go up, but the cash flow pattern is still income in, and expense going out is due to long-term liabilities. That is a middle-class person. So they're buying things the middle class believes are assets, but they're really liabilities because the cash is still flowing out the back door, the expense column. And a rich person will have income that comes from the asset column, which is asset to income, and that is the cash flow pattern of a rich person. And that goes back again to what kind of income do you have? Earned, passive, or portfolio. So when I read a financial statement, I'm not looking for how much they're making. I'm looking at from where is that money coming from, what type of income is it, and how are they spending their money? Is it good expenses, good liabilities, bad liabilities? And that's what my rich dad taught me about accounting. Accounting or the numbers tell me a story. Diane, you must see thousands of cases of people, you know, they're making different amounts of money, but each has a different story to tell. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. In fact, we have the example of Max in the program material on page 2-37. And you can see he makes $36,000 a year. Now, that's a good salary. A lot of people say, oh, he's doing okay. He's just 27 years old. He's doing great. He's not doing great. When you look at the financial statement, you can really see what's going on. In fact, if you look carefully, you'll see that he's underpaying his taxes every month just so he has enough cash flow to pay his bills. Well, that's beyond what Robert will call redlining. By the way, redlining is just like when you run a car and the RPMs are going too much. Well,
that's where if you have $1,000 of income, you have $1,000 of expense, you're at redline. In other words, you cannot afford any more expense because the engine blows up.
Right. Max is doing worse than redlining. He's borrowing from the government in his taxes against this future date of when he's going to have to pay the taxes. And this is, by the way, the person is fictitious, but I've seen this. I have seen people who will change withholding or borrow continually on their credit cards, trying to put off the day when it's the day of judgment, and somehow fool themselves because they have a great car, they've got a great apartment or a house, and everything's okay. It's not.
Do they look good? You know, they have a nice big house. They have two or three cars, kids in private school. She has a high-paying job. He has a high-paying job. And everybody says, oh, they're so affluent. But really, they're worse off many times than a poor person who just, you know, earns and spends. These people are earning and accruing tremendous liability, which makes them more and more unstable financially. You see a lot of that, don't you?
Yes, I do. And the whole secret to this, to reading this, is not to look at how many zeros are behind the numbers. It's to look at what is the pattern. As they get more money, as they get more income, do they increase debt or are they buying assets? You can read the future. Not only is your financial statement a report card, it's really a crystal ball.
That's correct. Diane tells me some funny stories without mentioning their names because that would be against her professional code. But she says something to me because we've all seen lottery winners who they win the lottery and then 3 years later they're broke because they went and just partied with all their friends. They bought huge, big houses on credit, big boats on credit, nice cars on credit, and they look good on their financial statement. The banker says your net worth is really strong, but in reality they're hemorrhaging financially because they've really bought liabilities, which is long-term debt, and then they don't have the source of income called the lottery winning to consistently feed that long-term liability. But you've also seen rich people suddenly get rich, right? And they go crazy themselves. You work with real estate developers, and you can tell just before they're going to go broke, they do three things. What are those three things?
Well, they usually will buy a plane, get flight lessons, they go on a safari, and they suddenly get a younger wife or girlfriend. And I've always said you see those same three red flags just before somebody's going under. Now, that's kind of funny, but the point is that people suddenly lose sight of what got them where they are.
Well, the reason I say this is because if you actually follow what this program is telling you to do, You know, don't let it go to your head, because suddenly if you've had all this pent-up spending demand built up inside of you, and suddenly you get that $100,000 check and all reasonable consciousness goes out the window and you find yourself buying the new BMW or Ferrari or something, check yourself. That's what the accounting statement is there for. Check with your advisors. You know, do something before you start spending and accruing all these large debts. Because the reason I know that so well was I became very rich in my 20s. And it was really a good time. I enjoyed it a lot. But the first thing the three of us did when we made a lot of money, we were millionaires in our 20s, we all went and bought new Mercedes. And that was the end of the company. I've seen it so many times. So the one thing good about age and pain and misery and learning is that hopefully we get wiser along the way. So even though I'm presently in my 50s, I have the same urges everybody else has. The other day, I came into a windfall amount of money, and suddenly I found myself at the Ferrari dealer looking at a $250,000 Ferrari. So even though I'm 50 years old, I'm not any more emotionally more intelligent than I was when I was 20. The difference is I now have a financial statement I need to look at. So I was looking at that Ferrari, and I said, ooh, I'd love to have it. I would look good. You know, I could be flashing around the streets. But today I'm a little bit smarter. Instead of putting the $250,000 down on a Ferrari, instead I'll go look for an apartment building or an office building or another company to buy first. And then after I buy the true asset, I'll let that asset buy that Ferrari. And that's what age, wisdom, education, and learning. You know, learning is sometimes you get a pounded into my head several times before I get the lesson. I just want to let you know the urge to spend is still there. It's just that a little education, a little learning has taught me to temper how I spend my money.